right, we are at 6 o'clock. If we can get our meeting rolling.
Recording in progress.
Well, the council has just returned from a closed session, and I will ask our city attorney, Mr. Pyrick, to let the public know if there's any reportable action. Mr. Pyrick, can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay. Asking if there's any reportable action from closed session.
Yeah, there was no reportable action in closed session tonight.
Thank you. So I will call to order the regular session for the City Council meeting, and I will lead us in the pledge to the flag, so please stand as able.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbo?
Here.
Councilmember Darris?
Here.
Councilmember Newsom?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Here.
Mayor Moreno?
Here.
All present.
Thank you. Well, for those of you attending in person, welcome. If you're on our Zoom webinar, we welcome you as well on YouTube, listening on KPRL, all the many ways. We're so glad that you're here this evening. If you would like to speak by phone for community forum or public comment on anything on our agenda, you can call the following Zoom number. This is also on the front of our agenda, which you can find at atascadero.org. The number is 669-900-6833. Once again, that phone number is 669-900-6833. And you will want to use the following meeting ID. That is 889-2347-9018. Again, meeting ID 889-2347-9018. When you call, please let us know which item you'd like to speak on. May I get a motion to approve the agenda?
Also move.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Council Member Borbo and a second by Mayor Pro Tem Funk. We will waive the reading in full of all ordinances appearing on this agenda, and the titles of the ordinances will be read aloud by the city clerk at the first reading after the motion and before the council votes. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbo?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. If you were here this evening because you wanted to hear or speak on item B1, which is in regards to Barrel Creek, please know that that item has been canceled. We have published that. We've sent letters. So hopefully if there's anyone here tonight that was your intention, you thought you were coming for that meeting, that is being will be held on March 14th. If you're here and you wanted to talk about that, you can do that at the community forum portion of our meeting, but just know that that item is not being discussed tonight. All right, we are on to presentations. This is one of the fun things that we get to do, and this will be our employee recognitions, and I'll turn this over to our city manager, Rochelle Rickard.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor and Council. This is indeed one of the fun things we get to do, one of my favorite things to do. So we have three employees that we're going to recognize tonight, and if I can have them come up. Officer Hall, Evan, Jim, come on up. So we're going to start with you, Evan. Sam, right here. You get to be in the camera. There you go. There we go.
Hey, so this is Evan Russell. He is a maintenance worker one, and he has been with the city for 5 years. We're very excited and very happy to have Evan here with us. He started with the city in 2017 as a maintenance worker in the Public Works Department. He's responsible. Yeah, go Public Works, huh?
Yep.
See, this is one of the guys during the storms that I was talking about that was amazing. They're all out there working in the rain and trying to help with flooding. That's Public Works. These guys are amazing. So thank you. So Evan's responsible for a variety of park maintenance duties, including mowing turf, building and facility upkeep, playground inspection, tree trimming, landscaping, and maintaining equipment and tools. His current assignment has him applying his knowledge and skills at all park facilities. Evan's a team player who is highly responsible, working independently, as demonstrated by his ability to work a modified work shift to take care of park maintenance responsibilities over the weekend. Evan has an easygoing demeanor and a friendly face to the public who are observing his work responsibilities, as you can tell. And Evan lives in Atascadero with his partner, Amanda, and their two-year-old son, Finn. Thank you, Amanda and Finn. Thank you for sharing Evan with us. We appreciate it. So thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations to us for having you here for 5 years. I appreciate it. Okay, come on up, Chris. So this is Chris Hall. Chris actually started his involvement with law enforcement, as you can tell, on the Central Coast way back in 2006 when he was cadet with the Arroyo Grande Police Department. He was hired full-time as a police officer with the Guadalupe Police Department in early 2010, where he excelled and was appointed as a Guadalupe Police Department canine handler. It was a few years later that Chris assisted the Atascadero Police Department with an investigation and got to know us. We were able to convince him to join the Atascadero Police Department, and he transferred or lateraled over to our department in 2012, 10 years ago. Some people may remember that Officer Hall didn't come alone. He was able to bring his canine partner with him and soon started serving as a canine handler with the Atascadero Police Department. He has served as a canine handler with our department for several years, currently working with his second canine partner, Luke, on patrol. I know Luke usually steals the show wherever you go, so it's nice to be able to recognize you. There's a lot of hard work that goes into that canine program, and Chris is a big, big part of that. He's been tremendously active in his outreach to other communities and organizations. He routinely receives commendations from citizen groups and other police departments for his participation at their events along with his canine partners. He has received the departmental awards for his exceptional service, including being the recipient of the Life-Saving Award and being named Officer of the Year. Others may not recognize Chris as much, but we do at the department. We understand how important of a role he plays. So Chris is also a leader within the Atascadero Police Department. He was promoted to the rank of corporal in 2020. He routinely leads his shift as a supervisor and can be counted on to do an exceptional job. Chris is a department taser instructor as well as the department range master, and we look to Chris as a future leader in our department supervisor rank. Chris lives with his girlfriend Alex, who I got to meet earlier tonight, who is teaching him to be a world traveler. And so Alex is going to join her to visit her 30th country this summer, and Chris and Alex are going to Egypt and Jordan this summer. So congratulations to us for having wonderful people like Chris, and thank you, Chris, for all you do. You're amazing. We appreciate it. And Chris and Evan, don't go too far. We're going to have to take pictures after. You too, Jim. This is Jim. And when I was talking about amazing storm people, I saw Jim during the storms out there working in the dark of night where it's just pouring rain off him after having like a 10, 12-hour day working straight trying to clear culverts that were just stubborn to try and help people so they won't void. Flood. So, Jim Campana started with the city of Atascadero over 25 years ago on July 14, 1997, as a street maintenance worker too in the Public Works Department. Prior to this, Jim worked nearly 20 years as an equipment operator in the construction industry, including working on the 1983 Julia Pfeiffer Burns mudslide when 2.7 million cubic yards gave way and closed Highway 1 for a year. His skills and experience quickly moved him to lead maintenance worker where he supervised the street maintenance crew. Jim was instrumental in improving maintenance and repair pavements, culverts, and equipment, including leading a city paving crew that overlaid 2 miles of road each year. In 2011, Jim moved to the engineering division to his current role as public works inspector, performing a variety of duties including construction inspection of capital projects and private development, overseeing utility work and other encroachments in the public right-of-way. So that's to say Jim's the guy out there keeping all of us motoring public safe and making sure people don't mess up our roads, and that when you do come into the road that it's safe. So Jim's pretty important guy. He evaluates and investigates complaints and field issues. He assists with plan review and project management. And he's also a certified traffic signal technician and an expert with work zone and trench safety. He has an impeccable record of record keeping, sets high standards for himself, and truly cares about his work in the city. Most of all, Jim is a trusted coworker who can be relied upon for anything and is a true pleasure to work with. Outside of work, Jim enjoys riding Harleys with his wife of 36 years, Lois, who's also here, taking his family boating on Lake Nacimiento, and spending time with his two-year-old granddaughter, Ainsley. So thank you, Jim, for all you do. Thank you, Ainsley, for sharing Papa. We appreciate it. It does take a lot of work from all of the families supporting these guys. They're dealing with flooding issues at their own house, and they're out helping our community and doing all sorts of stuff. And Jim, you're the example of what we strive to be. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hold on. Yeah, if I could get the council and Jim and Corporal Hall and Evan to come on up and get some pictures. We're going to want you to stand right over there.
To serve.
Yeah, of course.
Nice meeting you as well.
Take good care of him.
See you soon.
Well, that is one of our favorite things that we get to do. We have a really tremendous culture of employees here, of staff at the city, and it's always fun to recognize and celebrate them. We have a couple of proclamations this evening. The first one is a proclamation for Teen Dating Violence Action and Prevention Month, and Tiffany Lim will be receiving this. Is Tiffany here with us today? Hi, Tiffany. I've asked Councilmember Newsom to read the proclamation, and then we would love to hear from you afterwards. Okay.
If I can try not to take it apart. Sorry, it involves some reading glasses as well. Proclamation, February 2023 is Teen Dating Violence Action and Prevention Month. Whereas Teen Dating Violence Action and Prevention Month calls attention to the fact that dating violence is widespread and can affect youth from any background in any community. And whereas, according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, 1 in 11 female teens and 1 in 5 male teens reported experiencing physical violence in the last year. And whereas, according to the CDC, 1 in 9 female and 1 in 36 male high school students report having experienced sexual dating violence in the last year. And whereas, according to the CDC, 1 in 3 adults report verbal, emotional, physical, or sexual dating abuse each year. And whereas, rates of dating violence affect LGBTQ youth at rates higher than their cisgender and heterosexual peers. And whereas teen dating violence has been linked to other forms of violence and aggression, and survivors are more likely to suffer from eating disorders, drug and alcohol use, dropout, teen pregnancy, future abusive relationships, and suicide. And whereas nearly half of students who experience dating violence have reported that some of the abuse took place on school grounds. And whereas Luma Alliance continues to provide a safe environment for young people affected by teen dating violence with crisis intervention, counseling, legal services, safe emergency housing, and local community prevention programs such as Close to Home. And whereas the establishment of Teen Dating Violence Action and Prevention Month will benefit schools, communities, families, and all youth. And whereas the City of Atascadero commends Luna Alliance and Close to Home and other advocates and communities across the country for their work in preventing dating violence and acknowledges that each day of the year is an opportunity to create change for the future. Now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Heather Morano, on behalf of the City Council, I'm stepping, of the City of Atascadero, do hereby proclaim the month of February 2023 as Teen Dating Violence Action and Prevention Month and encourage our community to empower teens to develop healthy relationships. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Newsom. Tiffany, please come forward. We'd love to, if you'd like to share a few words.
Hello, I'm Tiffany. I'm here with Lumen Alliance. We are the county's resource for sexual assault and intimate partner violence. My role at our agency involves managing the community action team known as Close to Home. I work particularly with the youth volunteers. Throughout the month of February, we as a team have worked to create awareness and generate conversations about teen dating violence. This proclamation, as well as those in Slo City and Arroyo Grande earlier this month, are good steps towards our goals. However, as the month draws to a close, I want to acknowledge that there is more work to be done throughout the year. The youth are the future, and we must prioritize their voices when it comes to issues that affect them. As a community, we have the power to uplift teens and create safe spaces for them to flourish in. If you want to be a part of actionable change, Close to Home is always looking for volunteers of any age to help us build connections with the community and work towards long-term violence prevention.
Thank you very much. And yes. And if you're able to wait around for just a little bit, we have another proclamation, and then we would love to come do pictures with both of you. So, okay, thank you. Now is, Robert Lewin here with us? Wonderful, Robert. So you can go ahead and come up, but before you speak, I've asked Councilmember Bourbeau to read our proclamation.
Thank you. This is a proclamation for March 2023 being American Red Cross Month. Whereas we celebrate the humanitarian spirit of the city of Atascadero and reaffirm our commitment to help ensure no one faces a crisis alone, and whereas caring for one another is at the heart of our community and exemplified by the Red Cross through providing help and hope in people's most difficult moments, continuing the life-saving legacy of Clara Barton, who founded the organization more than 140 years ago to prevent and alleviate human suffering. And whereas every day these ordinary, some might say extraordinary, individuals lend a helping hand to make an extraordinary difference for their neighbors in need, including providing emergency shelter, food, and comfort for families displaced by home fires and other disasters, donating life-saving blood for cancer patients, accident victims, and people with other life-threatening conditions, supporting military members and veterans along with their families and caregivers through the unique challenges of service. And whereas this January, many communities throughout the Central Coast were struck by disaster when record-breaking rainfall caused flooding, landslides, coastal erosion, activating Red Cross volunteers to immediately deploy to affected neighborhoods, assess damage, open shelters, and provide both emotional and physical help when residents needed it most. And whereas the Red Cross's support, volunteerism, and generous donations are critical to our community's resilience and serve as a fulfillment of Clara Barton's noble words that you must never think of anything except the need and how to meet it. Now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Heather Moreno, on behalf of the City Council of the City of Atascadero, do hereby proclaim the month of March 2023 as American Red Cross Month and encourage all citizens of Atascadero to support its humanitarian mission.
Honorable Mayor and Council, as a board member of the local district of the Red Cross, I want to share our appreciation to the city for its continued support and this proclamation for Red Cross Month. Red Cross is a volunteer organization who responds in times of emergencies, both small and large, day and night, to directly help people whose lives have been turned upside down. Our volunteers, 1,213 of them on the Central Coast, have responded 47 times to assist 94 families who were impacted by an unfortunate and unexpected calamity. These volunteers provide both financial, physical, and emotional support. They provide a place to stay for a single family who has lost a home to a fire or a whole community that has suffered from a disaster. The commitment of a Red Cross volunteer is exemplary, and the responsibilities we ask of them are extraordinary. We hope others in the community will consider becoming volunteers. The Red Cross also provides for those in the armed forces 948 times this year who needed help because of a tragedy home while they were serving their country. This county has seen this winter the impacts of a disaster that caused our citizens five separate shelters so far to be activated. That happened, and when it happens in the future, it is and will be Red Cross volunteers who will be there. I would like to have Cynthia Fisher, who exemplifies all the good things of Red Cross volunteers, who deploys to other states regularly and was here for this winter storm, to briefly give some comments.
Thank you. I'm Cynthia Fisher. I'm a resident from Templeton and a lifetime San Luis Obispo County resident, native. Red Cross came to my heart due to being a victim of the San Simeon earthquakes. And I took steps to raise my child into a giving back to the community heart. We found Red Cross as a methodology that worked and aligned with our heart place and felt that it fit within San Luis Obispo community, and Atascadero is one of those communities. We would ask that you too look at your neighborhood, your neighbors, your families, and consider volunteering for the Red Cross. We can respond locally, which I did for 10 years, to the fires in Santa Margarita, opening up shelters for families who were being evacuated. Gave them comfort, a place that was safe to stay, made sure they had food, and then able to communicate information from our fire departments and public safety officers to them when it was safe to return to their properties. In later years, after having my child graduate from college, I've moved on to responding on a national basis. I'm currently deployed to Hurricane Ian in Florida, assisting over 850 families find recovery after leaving shelters and continue their rebuilding after the devastating Hurricane Ian. During that time, here in California, we had the atmospheric river. Not only did we have to open up shelters here, and as the mass care lead for the San Luis Obispo County, I was in charge of making sure we had volunteers staffed at all those shelters. But as I too was having rain come through my roof. So it is a great need to have us join as a community, and I appreciate the Atascadero City Council and the community here recognizing the Red Cross for the value that it is, and thank you for your time.
Thank you for being here, and we'll come out and do a photo with you, okay? So we've been talking in the background. We clearly have to have council not be saying, "I, Heather Moreno," because that just sounds a little weird, but to just be able to say, you know, on behalf of the city council or something to that effect, and I will trust the four of you to figure that out in the future and not feel like you have to say, "I, Heather Moreno." All right, very good.
She told us to read it. But then when you get to that part, you go, wait, this does not
look great. I trust you to handle it. All right. Moving on to consent calendar. Consent calendar contains items that are considered to be routine and non-controversial by staff and can be voted in one motion unless there is a member of the public or a member of council who is wanting to pull an item for further discussion. So I will look to council to see if there's anyone wishing to pull or discuss an item. Seeing none, I will go to the public. Anyone wishing to pull an item? I'm going to go to the attendees here. Oops. Okay, I do have the attendees. Okay. Anyone there wishing to pull an item on consent, speak to an item, you can raise a hand. All right, I'm not seeing anyone, so I'll come back and ask for a motion.
Move approval of the consent calendar.
I'll second.
A motion by Councilmember Bourbeau, a second by Councilmember Newsom. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Bourbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. And now we are on to updates from the city manager.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. The first thing I want to talk about is it is another First Friday coming up this Friday. So First Friday kicks off this Friday, March 3rd, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. And the city of Atascadero is gearing up for another fun event here in the downtown. So the event will begin here at Historic City Hall with live music by Lulu and the Chaos. In addition, there will be vintage and artisan market featuring 20 merchandise vendors, plus a handful of food trucks, including Bear City Social, Paradise Shaved Ice, Paso Catering, and Zen Dog. We would also like to thank our presenting sponsors, Barley and Boar Brew House, Cielo Restaurante and Rooftop Bar, and Streetside Ale House. So remember, First Friday concert events are free to attend, and the public is encouraged to bring a low-back chair, make a night of it as a date night or a family night to enjoy a variety of eating establishments, shops, and entertainment in the downtown. I know First Fridays are very popular these days. They're a lot of fun. Come on out. This is a great one. Lulu and the Chaos will be playing right here on the steps of City Hall, 5:30. So come join us. We also have coming up another fun event. This is a fundraiser for Friends of the Charles Paddock Zoo. It is Trivia Night. So are you a wise owl? Zoo Trivia Night might be one way to find out. Plan to come and impress your family and friends with your animal knowledge at the third annual Zoo Trivia Night at the Charles Paddock Zoo on Saturday, March 11th from 5 to 8 p.m. It's a fun way to test your knowledge, plus enjoy food and beverages and our exotic animals from around the world. Tickets for the event include zoo admission along with three beverages, wine or beer, plus prizes will be provided for both first and second place. Individual tickets are $30 per ticket, or you can get a table of five for $125 for the group. Food and other drinks will also be available for purchase from Paradise Shaved Ice Food Truck, and all proceeds support the Friends of the Charles Paddock Zoo. So that's another fun night. And just another special thank you to Firestone Walker Brewing Company and Zenaida Cellars for being our beverage sponsors. We can't do these events without our sponsors, so please check them out, all of our sponsors, and please support them. Our next event I want to talk about is At Her Table Street Festival. So in celebration of Women's History Month, At Her Table will bring together more than 160 women-owned and co-owned businesses across San Luis Obispo County to celebrate Women's Week at a number of different locations from March 6th through the 12th. So on March 12th from noon to 5 p.m. on Entrada Avenue, the second annual At Her Table Street Festival will offer a variety of delicious food, refreshing drinks, local vendors, and live music in celebration of Women's Week. This second annual event is hosted by Bramble Pie Company, the downtown businesses, and sponsored by the City of Atascadero. It is free to the public. So March 12th, noon to 5 on Entrada. Lot of fun. Come on out and enjoy the day. Support our women-owned businesses and all the businesses here in town. Next thing I want to talk about is our chipping program. It's that time of year. So the Atascadero Fire and Emergency Services would like to remind you that chipping will begin on Wednesday, March 1st. Please register online at www.atascadero.org/chipping or by calling 470-3300. Please make sure you pile all material near the road or driveway and make sure that it's easily accessible. And make sure you stack your branches with the base of the branches facing the same direction. So take a look at this photo. This is the correct way to stack your branches. Please keep piles free of household trash, processed lumber, poison oak, oleander, and avoid vine-type vegetation as this may jam the chipper. Yeah, we have it. Really tough time if you put poison oak in there. The guy's handling it. Some reason they don't come back the next year. I don't know why. Want to talk about a code forum change. So we have the Disabled Access and Code Changes Forum for contractors and those in the construction industry. It's an opportunity for business owners, contractors, designers, and architects to learn about accessibility laws, the changes in 2023, and how to get your businesses evaluated. The forum will be held tomorrow, March 1st, at the Pavilion on the Lake. There will be two sessions, one from 8:30 a.m. until noon, and the other is from 1 to 4:30 p.m. Walk-ins are welcome, and the event is free to attend. So come learn more about accessibility and some of our building code changes. And then just kind of a preview of event, not right away, but it's coming up on March 25th, the 6th Annual Central Coast Craft Beer Fest presented by the Central Coast Brewers Guild will be held on Saturday, March 25th from noon to 4 p.m. here at the Sunken Gardens, with over 55 local craft breweries, wineries, seltzers, cideries, and more from all over California. Expect live entertainment, plenty of food trucks, and a great variety of street fair and lawn games. Tickets are on sale now. Do not wait. This is one that always sells out. Everybody's calling Terry saying, "Can't you get me in?" The answer is no. We need to get your tickets ahead of time, so buy now. And so for tickets and information for all of our events, go to visitatascadero.com/events. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions the council may have.
Thank you for that. A lot of fun things going on. Any questions of City Manager?
Just one.
Councilmember Darris.
Just for clarification, at the event, the At Her Table event that you mentioned, you said it was from noon to 5, but I noticed on the flyer it said 10 to 4. So just so there's no confusion to anybody that's watching or hearing this. Is it 10 to 4?
I apologize. It yeah. is 10 to 4.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that was clear, that nobody shows up 2 hours early. Okay. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Good eye on that. Thank you. All right, we'll move on to community forum. Community forum is reserved for persons wishing to address the council on something that is not on the agenda this evening, but over which we have jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes, and we ask that you would state your name for the record, and we'll have the timer on so that you can kind of gauge how long you have left. And we will allot a total of 30 minutes for community forum. So let me write that time down. I got to remember that. And as I mentioned at the very beginning of our meeting, if you weren't here, if you were intending to speak on the Barrel Creek item, which was B1, that item has been canceled. We did mail notices. We published those, got it out on all the media channels. But if you didn't happen to see that and you are here in person or you are here in Zoom and you were wanting to speak on that item, that is going to be on March 14th. If you still wanted to say something this evening, now under community forum would be your opportunity to do that. But we will not be discussing that item tonight. So with that, community forum is open. And if there's anyone here in the chambers that is wishing to speak, please come forward to the mic. And if there's anybody on Zoom, if you would please raise your hand. And I would ask that you don't wait, like get up, raise your hand, do that kind of thing so we know when we can keep going. Welcome, Sue.
Thank you. Mayor and council members. It's fun to be back. I haven't been here for a while. And just letting you know, our recovery center at North County Connection, and I'm Sue Warren from 8600 Atascadero Avenue for North County Connection. And I'm here again, and I gave you a copy of a book that's hot off the press called Recovery Allies by Allison Joan Webbs, who's got her master's in public health. And this was just published this last fall, and I got a hold of a copy of it. And to me, it's just taken us to that next level in how communities can be supportive of people in recovery. It's one thing for them to have their meetings that they go to or their therapists that they go to, but having a community that's supportive is what's going to help us clear up the addiction problem that we find in our streets, in our creeks. You know, we can begin to set up systems by working together that support people and encourage them to want recovery so that they get there sooner. It's kind of like that old adage that we've got to go upstream and start helping people upstream before they wind up down at the lake below, drowning. And this, to me, is a landmark way of looking at it in how we can begin to form alliances and work together as a community. And that includes churches, that includes hospitals and medical, law enforcement, families that are affected, neighbors, you know, anybody, you know, people want to reach out and help the homeless, but when it comes to the fact that there's mental health issues and substance abuse issues, we kind of throw up our hands and people aren't sure what to do next. And yet that's the crux and part of the root causes. And I'm going to read a couple of quotes out of here, and it's, when we understand why people use drugs and alcohol and work on supporting their recoveries, we stand a better chance of solving our overreaching addiction crisis. And, you know, it's not just about handing out Narcan. It's, you know, that one thing. We have to change how we think. We have to change the manner in which we reduce the stigma, so people are more willing to come in for help sooner, and then be prepared for what they need and support them through that process. And as allies, we create safe spaces to talk about addiction and recovery. When we understand why people struggle in recovery, we can look at ways to support them on their journeys. Then we can work to provide evidence-based recovery support services and opportunities for individuals to increase their recovery capital. Yeah, and this is going to help us. It's going to be a great thing for employers to be able to bring people in to work that are in recovery and support them in that effort. And I don't know what else to say other than I'm excited about this, because I think that if you read, even if you just read the forward and the first 12 pages in here, it gives you that overview of how this can work. And then the other ones are broken down into how it might work through the churches and how it might work.
So we have reached time. I've given you a little bit of leeway because I know we don't have a full night tonight. But since you did kind of say you don't know what else to say, we do thank you for the book.
Yes. And pass it on. We know we'll be talking more. Pay it forward.
Thank you.
So we can work together.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sue. Anyone else here in the chambers wishing to speak? And I'm also going to go over to the webinar to see. I don't see any raised hands at the moment. Let's see. Okay, Jeff Oslin, if we could bring Jeff Oslin on.
Good evening, Council. I'm just making sure you can hear me.
Yes.
Awesome. I just wanted to thank our council and our city manager for bringing Chief Haley back in on an interim basis. I think that was a great move on our city's part, and I'm very sad to say that I think this is his last city council meeting, and sad to see him go. I wish him the best of luck, and I hope our police department and our new chief can be every ounce as good as Chief Haley. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Oslin. Anyone else wishing to speak? If you could raise your hand now or come forward to the podium. I am not seeing anyone. Last chance. All right, with that, I will go ahead and close community forum and bring it back to council. And yes, Ms. Warren, thank you so much for your words and for this book. You gave all of us one a few years ago that I know we read and really got a lot out of and were able to share, and I know we'll continue to do that. And yes, Mr. Oslin, we have been very very blessed to have Chief Haley with us, and we thank him very much for his time of service and coming back when we really, really needed it. So we appreciate you very much. And with that, we will move on to, let's see, it is 6:45, so we will... since no one else is wishing to speak at this time, community forum is going to remain open until 7:08. Easy math, 30 minutes. So at this time, we will move on to the next item, but if there's somebody wishing to speak and you realize that before 7:08, go ahead and raise your hand or alert us in some way, and we will get to you at the earliest opportunity. And with that, we're going to move on to our management report, which is findings to support a downtown entertainment zone. And I'm going to ask our community development director, Mr. Phil Dunsmore,
Thank you, Mayor and Council.
All right,
good evening.
I thought that was it.
That's it. I'm just going to share my screen. I'm going to show you a few different things about what we're going to be talking about tonight. And it's just one more step that... the City Council can take to make Atascadero's downtown more successful. And you've taken many of those steps, and I think we saw one of the events that we're going to be doing First Fridays. That's one additional step as well. But tonight we're going to be talking about Atascadero After Dark. The image right there is sort of fitting for that. And what happens in downtown Atascadero After Dark? Well, in years past, not a whole lot. But we're looking to change that, and this council has made wonderful progress to do that. Tonight we're going to be talking about a few of the things that we can do to really progress that. And so what's being proposed is this downtown entertainment zone. When we talk about the downtown, we're talking about the downtown zoning district. It's outlined on this map. It essentially takes the downtown zoning district into account, which runs essentially from the police station on the north end of town to about Colony Square on the south end of town, where it's at Highway 41, and then easterly includes the middle school property and the Fine Arts Academy property and the Printery property and everything in between. That's the downtown commercial zoning district. So the goal that I think we've heard from the community over the years, and we've heard from council, and we've heard from general plan policies, is to really have an active, vibrant downtown. And the state has interjected and said, you also need to have mixed use. And our own general plan embraces mixed use in downtown. What's mixed use? That means residential upstairs. But we also want success. We want nightlife. We want restaurants. We want outdoor entertainment. And we want to support all the events that are happening in town. And the town's beginning to grow. That picture I have there is a little older, a little simpler back then. Some of these objectives include supporting businesses to be open later. That's the main emphasis. And what's the impediment to doing that? And prioritizing commercial entertainment, retail, and dining activities in downtown. And dining that's outdoors, dining that might have music associated with it, entertainment, maybe live music, sound, amplified sound. So what are the issues on these things? Well, a lot of businesses really rely on a liquor license to be successful in the evening. That's a big component of their revenue. And ABC, over the years, has definitely put restrictions on those licenses. They limit hours of operation. They limit outdoor amplified sound, among things. And they really have a goal, it's just kind of a state goal, of ensuring the safety and welfare and peacefulness in primarily a residential neighborhood. But that also applies to areas where commercial districts have residences in them. And also, we have to deal with state policies that are really, really pushing for that residential in our commercial zones. And we want to embrace that without jeopardizing our success. Going back to our last general plan, it was adopted in 2002, we put in place policies that really said, hey, We need to promote downtown as the city's cultural, entertainment, and commercial center. Those policies are still what we pursue today, and we've implemented those in our Title IX, in our downtown zoning definition, where it basically says it's intended to enhance the economic vitality and pedestrian-oriented character of the downtown by encouraging a wide range of retail shops, artisan craft sales and production, restaurants, entertainment facilities, and lodging. All those things that we're trying to promote. Our downtown revitalization plan that was also implemented went a step further and really talked about the desired land uses in downtown being multi-story mixed use, retail commercial uses on the ground floor with residential office and visitor accommodations above. We've come a long ways in just a few years. Here's an image from 2018 looking across from Sunken Gardens Park. It was quiet. It's been quiet. It's been sleepy. 2019, we started to see some construction of La Plaza and some other really, really productive downtown commercial uses. In 2020, we approved this container project and ended up being a very successful beer garden with some outdoor music and kind of a center of community right across the street from Carlton Hotel and some other very successful restaurants. Right at that same time, the architecture and design for La Plaza was approved, and not long after, it was built to match that image. Crown jewel of downtown, really. And a great spot for restaurants and entertainment, and of course, First Fridays. And what's next? We're working hard on getting additional public input on the Downtown Infrastructure Enhancement Plan, and that itself will further all of these goals and create additional incentives for business to continue to settle in downtown. A lot of what we've heard over time from community opinion on things like talk on the block, our general plan seminars that we've had, our downtown infrastructure enhancement meetings that we've had, we've heard a lot about emphasizing downtown. And our most common community response is a vibrant downtown. And in this word cloud that you see here, you can see how big downtown is out of all the other issues in our community that we heard a long time back on our talk on the block. Really interesting. Additionally, as we've done strategic planning in years past, this is 2017. Look at the comparison. Simulate activities in the downtown. Invest in infrastructure in the downtown. Eliminate downtown ground floor residential zoning. Prioritize incentives for business that add to the mix that we want downtown. And in 2019, support and adopt legislation that maintains quality public spaces and a vibrant environment in the downtown. And I skip a couple more. Actively drive legislation to ensure that ABC licenses in the downtown area do not contain provisions and limitations that conflict with the community's vision for a vibrant downtown. So we looked at that in 2019. That's exactly what we're talking about tonight. In recent months, we've had great conversations with Alcohol Beverage Control, and they have signaled that they are willing to offer that flexibility as long as our city council, does actually support, through a resolution, us having that active downtown and us putting that as a priority. And we can do that through a resolution. Again, the most recent action plan, 21-23, some of the very similar sort of items. Assist development of new restaurants. Explore zoning changes. Encourage more events downtown. Evaluate zoning and city policies as part of the update we're doing now, a general plan update, to encourage private development. A thriving downtown. Don't have to go out of town for date night. That's a big one. So what is the impediment? I mentioned this earlier. There has been restrictions. We have heard this from business owners on the hours of operation, on businesses that serve alcohol, and on, especially on businesses that have an outdoor patio or that have things that have music or entertainment outside. And there's been a false perception on their behalf that the city wants to preserve a quiet, vacant downtown atmosphere after dark. But we don't. We want to be a neighborhood at night. We want to be a place that's safe. We want to be a place that's attractive. We want to be a place where we can dine and do several activities at one time. We want to be a place that our own community wants to come out to and feel like it's a nice place to be. So what's the solution? One little solution is if the council can adopt a city council resolution that supports that active, vibrant downtown, that supports the business flexibility, the extended hours, the outdoor dining, and the entertainment. And that resolution allows for ABC then to support a flexibility in their license restrictions for commercial zone sites. A couple of businesses are already pursuing this today, and ABC has forwarded those to us, and staff does want to be able to support those adjustments to their licenses. I know it's a bit small print. I'm not going to read through these. I have them up on the screen in case we want to come back to these. These are the findings that we put into a draft resolution tonight to look at. I can make these a little larger too, but essentially it's saying that entertainment, restaurants, dining, alcohol sales, late night activities are encouraged in this downtown entertainment zone, which is consistent with the downtown commercial zoning district, and that these things are consistent with our general plan policies, they're consistent with our zoning policies, and consistent with our long-term goals for our downtown. Now, the meat of it really is, what are those hour restrictions that we would like to be flexible to? Not that a lot of businesses will even ever take advantage of this, but we're saying on Fridays and Saturdays, let it be 2 a.m. like our surrounding communities have. Let it be until midnight on other nights like our surrounding communities have. We're not sure that businesses will take advantage of something that late, because is there the business to support that? Don't know. But not having that restriction at least gives that kind of flexibility. So in conclusion, this draft resolution supports the establishment of downtown as this entertainment zone, and it supports ABC licenses for restaurants and bars without restrictions to those operating hours, essentially. And then what we can also do is, during the next zoning code update, there are a couple of tweaks that we can do that include changes that reflect this in the Muni code to increase the transparency of the city for this zone. And not every night will be like it is in that image, but that is a fun time right there. So anyway, recommendation we're going to leave you with is adopting that draft resolution, finding that the city supports an active downtown entertainment zone with expanded business hours within the downtown zoning district. Happy to answer your questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Director. Maybe our first Fridays could even go later than 7:30 then. You know, this is something that we've been going back and forth with ABC on for, I'd say, at least 5 years, if not even a little bit longer. And there's been ebb and flow. I know that staff has worked to be collaborative with them to, you know, ensure that, you know, everything is in place that needs to be in place. And so it's kind of ebbed and flowed, where they back off and then they come back again, and then we hear from businesses that, hey, we're having a problem. And so thank you for sticking with it and coming up with creative solutions and continuing through that bureaucracy that I know can be challenging and frustrating, and finding a solution for our downtown, for our businesses, and really our entire community that's been asking for this for quite a long time. And we also know that not only do our residents want a thriving downtown and entertainment center, we know that for businesses that want to locate here, not just in the downtown, but outside of downtown, one of the things we hear from them is, you know, there needs to be a downtown, there needs to be something for my employees to do. We're not going to come locate if you have that, what do you call it, the vacant, you know, vacant, you know, sort of dead downtown. So this is a multifaceted approach to the economic development of our city. So with that, I will look to council for any questions, and I'll just kind of look to the screens. And so if you want to raise your hand a little bit, any questions? Council Member Funk. Oh, sorry, Mayor Pro Tem Funk.
I'll answer to either one of those. just a question with regard to the amplified sound. There's a mention there in the thing that we're allowing amplified sound in conformance with the city's municipal code. So I presume that we're not just saying you could do a massive, loud, super loud band at 1 in the morning on a regular basis, but that rather the could you explain a little bit more about what the restrictions are that apply?
Absolutely. There's already in our municipal code restrictions to that. That doesn't mean adoption of this resolution lifts any restrictions or changes our municipal code in the way we handle noise and the way we handle outside entertainment. Generally, amplified sound outside at a business does require a conditional use permit, or if it's a special event, it requires approval of that special event. So that still stays in place. But for someone to do outdoor amplified sound on a regular basis is an ongoing conditional use permit that they can receive. That does, in some cases, take planning commission review in certain cases. So that's not being proposed to change. So there is certainly protection of residential neighborhood and sound issues under that scenario. We get to review that. So it's still, in some cases, a discretionary use.
And so if I understand correctly, then what keeps our downtown businesses from having, a guitarist there serenading their, the patrons that are dining and enjoying drinks at 10 o'clock at night? What keeps that from happening on our lovely Atascadero summer nights is mostly alcoholic and beverage control, not our city ordinances.
Correct. Our city ordinances allow for that. It's just when you have amplified sound outside, it requires a special approval, but that's easy to get through the city. We can offer that. But the impediment really is, it's the ABC license that has the conditions that we don't have discretion on.
Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Darris.
Thank you. So I want to clarify for me and for anybody watching, we don't have discretion on what you said the ABC is regulating as far as the amplified sound and all that. But if we approve this resolution, then they will then modify their regulations because it's what we're saying the town desires?
So they don't actually have regulations that prevent amplified music or that set established hours. What they do is they put conditions on each alcohol license based on its existing conditions. And generally they look at what's adjacent to that business. And then they also put in, there's also a protest period where, people can protest. So they don't actually have these written standards in a code, but they put these discretionary conditions on each license. And essentially by adopting this resolution, we're claiming as a city to say that we don't necessarily want those restrictive conditions unless, there's extenuating circumstances. And let's negotiate on those issues and let's look at each one. And let's give us some flexibility. And so they're willing to do that.
So by us passing this, then that's what, that brings it to the table, and then we can move forward from there. That's awesome. Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? All right, seeing none, I'll go ahead and open this up to public comment. So anyone here in the chambers wishing to speak, please come forward. If you're in the webinar, go ahead and raise your hand using that raise hand icon at the bottom of the screen. We'll start with Mr. Jeff Oslin.
Good evening, Council, once again. Great presentation, Director. I have two comments. The first one is on El Camino Real on the west side. That would include the area up to Highway 101 from, as you would say, traffic way down to Morrow Road, I would hope. And the reason I say that is you do have potential that a business could be behind the actual El Camino address or something. I want to make sure that they're covered. And secondly, I did see that you said in there that the night before a major holiday, I just want to make sure that's including New Year's Eve. I do know there was restrictions on some licenses this year because it was on weekdays and they had to stop pouring at 10 p.m. That's my comment. I think it's a great idea to finally get ABC on board. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members of the public wishing to speak? You could raise your hands or come forward. Anyone? I'm not seeing anyone in chambers. I'm not seeing anyone on the webinar. Last chance, if you want to raise your hand using that raise hand icon, please do so. And I'm not seeing anyone on the phone. All right. With that, I will go ahead and close public comment and bring that back to staff to answer the questions with regards to New Year's Eve. Does that count as a national holiday? And, or New Year's Eve being the day before the national holiday. And I believe the inclusion of the west side of ECR from Traffic Way to Morrow is included, but if you could speak to that.
Let me start by clarifying the zone. And this would extend all the way from Morrow Road, Highway 41, all the way to the intersection of El Camino Real and Rosario. And then it would be eastward, which would include Traffic Way, and it would include Entrada, and it would include West Mall and East Mall, all the way to the intersection of, on Traffic Way would be Olmeda, and on Entrada it would go all the way to the end of Entrada, and on West Mall it would go all the way to Lewis.
Phil, can I recommend that you bring up the map?
Thank you. That make it easier.
I don't believe it goes all the way to 41.
I will.
That is certainly something we can look at as we go with the zoning code updates and some of that, too.
And to be clear, this is our pre-existing downtown zone. We're not defining it tonight. We're not changing it tonight.
Correct.
This is a pre-existing downtown zone.
This is Correct. A pre-existing downtown commercial zone.
So this, oh, black, does go to 41. This black boundary you can see here, so the street here I'm looking at is actually Olmeda at the back here. So it actually goes just a little bit beyond Olmeda. And on the very south end, it goes right to Highway 41, where you've got the medical office building and you've got the Jamba Juice building that's included in that.
Thank you. I think that does answer the
and
question.
And then the other question was about the national holiday. And certainly we can make that language however we like. It would be my understanding that it would include that, but if it's not clarified in the resolution, and if that's a question, we can do that. So perhaps we should look at that language, see if it needs adjustment.
That would, yeah, let's just make sure that's clarified. Yeah. I mean, I like to celebrate the New Year's, the New York New Year's, and I'm in bed at 9:30 or 10, so for me that's not a big deal, but not everybody is. It's an early bird, so I think that
it's clearly spelled out in the staff report. I don't know if it's in the resolution itself.
So. All right. Any other
yeah, it's not.
Any other questions or comments before a motion? Mayor Pro Tem.
Just to confirm that the printery is included in this zone.
Yes.
Okay.
He was just, Councilmember Borbeau is pointing out to me that it said nights before national holiday, and I think Mr. Oslin's question was just, you know, is New Year's Eve a national holiday? And I think yes. Probably the reason ABC said no is because we didn't have this resolution in place, and what they're asking for is to see that council is saying, yes, as a community, this is what we want, and now that we are saying that, that will not be a problem this coming New Year's Eve. So with that, I will look for a motion.
I'll move approval of the draft resolution presented by staff.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Borbeau, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Funk. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. We'll go on to council announcements and committee reports, which I like to put all together. So I will start, I'll go from my left to my right and start with Council Member Darris.
2 weeks ago, the Capsule Board met. I think the biggest item on our agenda was just the recap of last year's budget and audit of everything, and which they did a fantastic job budgeting and record keeping and looking like a good year coming up. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Warfield.
Yes. Let's see. Last Friday, had a meeting, or actually the Friday before, with the city schools committees, where we met with three members of the school board, all three new members, and the school district superintendent. Had a good discussion about issues of mutual concern, but there's not any action taken to report. And I have an IWMA meeting coming up next Wednesday.
I talked with one of the new school board members, and she had been part of that school city schools committee and really liked it and was glad that we have that committee put together. Right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Mayor Pro Tem.
Yes, I'm actually going to report on something that isn't HSOC. The Tascadero Basin Groundwater Sustainability Agency Executive Board met this last week, and we reviewed a draft report, an annual report on the state of the basin, which I'm happy to report the Tascadero Basin is in really good shape, not just because of the recent rains, but also because our basin geologically is able to recharge when there's rain in a way that is much more difficult in the Paso Basin, where there's been so much overdrafting. So that draft report is available for review and comment on the linked website for the Groundwater Sustainability Agency, or GSA, for the next few weeks. And so if you're interested, there's some nice graphics and good information, and sign on and leave your comments. We are waiting to hear the state's response on a plan that the GSA has proposed for continuing to keep this basin in a sustainable fashion. The state's got another couple of years to respond, so we're not holding our breath. The state is prioritizing basins that are in really bad shape right now, and so we won't hear for a while. That's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Newsom.
I have nothing to report at this time.
Thank you. I'll have RTA tomorrow. I did have the housing infrastructure plan meeting that Silacog has hired Reach to have this steering committee and do this outreach portion. And so, you know, a number of members of cities, folks in the development industry, community, housing representatives, so kind of coming together and giving input as to, you know, how kind of bringing this plan together and looking at infrastructure needs and really the regional aspect, of course, you know, coming out, working off the regional compact that we all came together in 2020 to bring about. So really nothing to report out, but just to let you know that is in progress. We had a, yes.
I have a do-over. Last Friday, we did also have a joint meeting of the Finance Committee and the Citizen Sales Tax Oversight Committee here in the chambers, and we approved the distribution of the 2022 D20 brochure outlining the expenditure of the D20, the additional funds raised by Measure D20. A 1 cent sales tax. And so I'm not sure exactly when that'll go out, but all of our citizens will receive that in the mail.
Fabulous. Did you want to?
It will be coming to you at your next council meeting for approval prior to going out.
Yeah, it had to be approved by the two committees before it came to council.
Yeah. Thank you. So one other thing I wanted to talk about, I've been working with Dr. Steve Robinson, who is the vet for the Charles Paddock Zoo, and he's also been president of the Friends of the Charles Paddock Zoo for many years. He's been the vet, I think, for 30 years. And we're really looking to rebuild the Friends group, you know, with COVID and things, you know, like a lot of things has kind of dwindled, and, you know, members have either moved away or moved on. And so looking to kind of reignite this group. And the main purpose of the Friends group is to raise funds for the zoo. And what we had done is pulled together a group of individuals and came together on Sunday, kind of a scrappy group. And I want to thank our city manager for being there, and Chief Haley, who led the, you know, we loosely call it strategic planning, but it was really a kind of ground floor getting going, and thank you for kind of wrangling us in and pulling us together. So the Charles Paddock Zoo, as many of you know, is accredited by the AZA, which is the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, and the sole purpose of the AZA is to prevent the extinction of animals. And in the time that they've existed, they've actually 40 animals have been saved from extinction and put back into the wild. So Charles Paddock Zoo is one of about 230 zoos throughout the country that is accredited, which means we have to maintain certain standards. We are up for reaccreditation in September of 2024. We've got a lot of work to do. This is going to be a bit of a heavy lift. We have a great master plan that shows capital improvements and the things that we want to do. And the AZA, when they come, is going to want to see that the zoo can viably fund that master plan. Not by September of 2024, but that we have a strong group, a strong board, a group of volunteers, and fundraising in place that shows we can be doing this into the future and we can make this plan happen. So a lot of work that we need to do. So I am asking members of the public, I'm also asking my fellow council members, if you know of somebody who has a love of animals, who would be interested in seeing what we're up to, is seeing how they might want to get involved. And it might be on the level of being on the board of the Friends of the Charles Pettig Zoo. It might be at the level of just volunteering for events or something. It could be on the level of helping to fundraise. Whatever it might be, please reach out to me. So my email is hmoreno@atascadero.org. You can, of course, also find me on the city's website, atascadero.org. You can call City Hall and get a hold of me. It won't be hard. And we are having another meeting slated for Sunday, April 2nd, from about, I'd say, 1 to 3, about a two-hour, to bring more folks together. Because we've got a lot of ideas. We know a lot of the things that need to be done, and, you know, it's easy to dream of that. It's not going to happen with 7 people or 8 people or 10 people. We need a lot of us. It's a heavy lift, and we all need to come together. And so I'm asking my council members, not for you all to be on the board or come volunteer, but who do you know? Reach out to the folks that you know. And any members of the public, if you're interested, reach out to me. If you know somebody that is, let them know. But we want to really come together and work to keep our zoo accredited because it's a really special, it's a real jewel that we have here. I know from so many of you that you remember times when, you know, you took your kids there or you're taking your grandkids there or you remember as a child going there. And so it has a special place in our community's heart. And we want to see it continue strong. So with that, I will look to my council members to ask if there are any individual determinations or actions. Council Member Darris.
Thank you. Oh, one of the nice things about Atascadero that I really like is the number of businesses that will come forward on their own to help individual citizens or other businesses or organizations. And that happened a few weeks ago with Sam's Tree Service. Atascadero Kiwanis Club has their facility across the parking lot from the pavilion. And we were in need of, Kiwanis, but I'm a member of the Kiwanis Club, in need of tree service to protect our building in case some of that tree was going to fall, especially with the storms that we had. And Sam's Tree Service stepped forward and offered their services at no charge. That was a great help to us, to the Kiwanis Club, because we have very limited funds. So I think that they are very deserving of at least some recognition for that. The club appreciates it. I'm sure the members do, and on behalf of the Atascadero Kiwanis Club, thank you to Sam's Tree Service. They've done some work for me personally. They do great work. They're very professional, and they, I think they deserve the recognition. So thank you for that time.
Thank you. Any other member of the council? Seeing none, I know we do have an individual determination from our city manager.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Earlier tonight, at the beginning of the meeting, we recognized some incredible employees. Jim Campana, who's been here 25 years. Corporal Hall, who is a driving force behind our canine program. Evan Russell. Today happens to be my 26th anniversary of the day I started. I started on February 28th, 1997. Yes, we have some employees that weren't even born then. So it was a while ago. And I want to take this opportunity to say what an incredible experience it has been and how honored I am to have the opportunity to serve this community. It's a community that I love. And as if that wasn't enough that I get to serve this community that I love, I've had the opportunity day in and day out to work with an incredible team and amazing people. We are truly fortunate as an organization, as a community, as a people, to have these dedicated, committed, passionate, creative, and talented men and women working every day to serve the community. The city employees, and you, City Council, I do not envy you your jobs. They're a lot of times very thankless, very hard jobs. You and the employees are inspirational. So I do want to take this opportunity just to say thank you. Thank you so much. And on this 26th anniversary date, it's not without a little trepidation, nervousness, maybe a little regret, but also some excitement that I am formally announcing that I plan to retire this summer. So I hope to spend some time traveling with my husband of 33 years, see more of this country and more of this world, and visiting my kids who have moved out and about, and I would like to go see them. And I probably will volunteer here in the community I love. I love serving this community. So I will be retiring this summer. I will be working with you, the City Council, to begin the city manager recruitment process in the next couple of weeks so we can get that going and moving and have a very smooth transition as we change out my position. And with that, just a heartfelt thank you.
You know, I wanted to cut you off right when you said it. And thank you. It's been so, I was going to say, you're welcome and good night. I want to adjourn the meeting and not let her do that. But we will have many opportunities to thank Rochelle, to talk about Rochelle. And I don't envy your job. Never have. I think none of us. So I was going to say you'll be missed more than you know. We still have a good five months or so, but you may know it's you are tremendous in the culture, the team. Everything comes from the top down, and you've been instrumental in what's been accomplished here in the city. And you can't look anywhere and not see it. So thank you. And we will have much more to say, but Charles is wanting to
do at least give her a round of applause.
Round of applause. All right. Years. Well, we will, like I said, we'll have more to say. And with that, meeting adjourned.
I was going to say for the public, the only reason we don't look shocked is that she already told each of us individually.